Coming up next on Adam's Cave.
Is loving, let me ask you, is loving easy?
Some men say, Adam say, it's easier to love when she submits.
It is easier to submit when you loved well.
Join Mr. Kissinger Kipruto, hosting Faith Nashipai, a co-founder with the Thriving Communities Africa and a mental health coach, as they answer the question, Adam, where is Eve?
This is because, look at the man.
This is Adam's Cave. Listen and live.
This is Adam's Cave. Adam's Cave is a space where we discuss matters that affect men and the significant people that men really love. And our conversation today is, as always, will be close, it will be candid, and it will be very, very concise. I'm your host, Kissinger Kipruto, and I'm always delighted to have you on board. So please make sure you are part of this conversation. SMS 20933 or WhatsApp 0717-400-555. 0717-400-555. Now, in the Garden of Eden, Eve had a conversation with the serpent and finally was convinced to eat the forbidden fruit. Eve finally ends up calling Adam and say, look, have some. It's beautiful and nice to eat. And Adam enjoys it. Now, the question is, Adam seems not to be to have been part of this conversation with the serpent in the beginning. So we want to discuss, Adam, where is Eve? Adam, where is Eve? So today we host a friend of Adam's Cave, a very passionate Eve, an MBA meaning Men and Boys Ambassador. She's a co-founder of Thriving Communities Africa and a mental health coach. And we are so happy to have her. She's a mother of boys, and she's Faith Nashipai. Welcome on board again.
Thank you so much, Kissinger.
We enjoyed your session last time.
Wow, thank you.
And
that was really humbled.
An amazing conversation.
Asante.
We always say in Adam's Cave, we allow eaves to eavesdrop. Mm-hmm. And we are amazed that you guys are not just eavesdropping, you're actually listening. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Thank you.
Karibu again.
Yeah.
Just in case somebody was not here last week or last time we spoke, mm-hmm. Who is Faith?
Well, Faith is, number one, I'm a mother. I think that's the biggest title that I can ever hold on up. I'm a child of God. I love God. I have been trained as a psychologist and also as a project management professional. I am currently leading an organization called Thriving Communities Africa, where for us we look at men as influencers and transformers of societies. So we are looking at social norms change through the men. And we are also looking at how can we impact on the destitute families from an intangible needs perspective. Generally, we want to have an Africa that is thriving, an Africa that is cohesive, an Africa that is peaceful, and an Africa that is exploiting its opportunities and whatever God has given us. So that is what we do as Thriving Families,
Welcome
Thriving Communities
Faith.
Africa.
Welcome. I think I met you for the first time moderating a business event. Trying to combine the business event and Thriving Communities. How does that work out?
Yeah. You know the way God gives you different giftings and different things and different passions. And I have a passion to see Africa become a donor to its own development. So I wear different hats. I am also a social entrepreneur. And at that time, I happened to have been leading CBF, the chairperson for CITAM Business Forum in CITAM Buruburu for a while. Then I happened to move places, and and at the same time, I was also at the global CBF committee. And that's how I got to moderate the CEO's breakfast. And actually, that is a great opportunity for all men to plug in and men who have businesses to come in and support something that is going to be kingdom financing for businesses in Kenya and in Africa. And an opportunity for us to plug in into the kingdom of God, grow businesses in the right business, in the right way, and also give to the kingdom work of God. So basically, Yes, I am part of CBF, but I took a backseat just the other day. So, yes, sometimes you allow others to lead as you also sit there and, enjoy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Let's go back to thriving communities. You mentioned something so profound.
Mm-hmm.
Men transforming what?
Men transforming communities.
Communities.
Yeah, because this is because look at the man. Mm-hmm. We've had the question, Adam, where is Eve? Mm-hmm. We didn't ask Eve, where is Adam? Mm-hmm. And God came looking for Adam, interestingly. God expects Adam to be present. And it is Adam who gave names to everything.
Including Eve.
Including Eve herself. So when you look at it from that perspective, then you realize that our patriarchal systems are strongly embedded in the man. Our religious leaderships are with the men. Our family leaderships are with the men. Unfortunately, they are failing us in the most basic and most important system in our societies, and that is the family unit. So I like the way you're asking, where is Eve? Because it is either Adam has left the center, or he's delirious of his existence, that he does not recognize the presence of Eve. So he needs to wake up and see Eve, and probably the great clan or tribe that God is making out of him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when we say that we are working with men, it is men to influence change. For a long time, our gender approaches have been towards women. Very good, very important, very impactful. Mm-hmm. But our highest impact will be achieved when we normalize that men and women need to be part of the gender development discourse. And we need to see men as pivotal to social norms transformation. I come from Maasai. And our tradition and our culture is upheld by our fathers and our grandfathers. And our sons rise up to become what their fathers are. So at the end of the day, who is this who is going to transform the society?
It's men.
Because he's the one who's making decisions. Go to Baraza ya Wazee. How many women do you find in the barazas? At a chief's baraza itself. Council of Elders, very few women. And when they go there, there are certain norms and structures. She can only speak to a certain level. You come from Kalenjin, I come from Maasai. There are spaces that a woman cannot speak or even stand. You know? I mean, go to a sherehe in Maasai, in the remote of Maasai today. Women, we sit on our end with our kids. Men sit pale kando.
Actually, where I grew up, when you go to church on Sunday, men would go onto one side,
mm-hmm.
and men could go to the left side.
Mm-hmm. And it's still there in some of
it's very interesting
the
culture.
Yeah, it's still there. So the man, the reason why we are working with a man is because he is community. And he is the change maker. He is the one button in our organ. When it is hit, it resonates with all the music.
That's powerful.
Unfortunately, he's asleep.
David Atundo likes tweeting, so you should say that again. He's the organ that does what?
He's the one button in the keyboard.
Uh-huh.
The when you press it, the music resonates in your organ.
Profound.
The piece becomes complete. Your musical piece becomes complete. So when the man begins to see himself that way, not to puff himself up with pride, but to see himself as an enabler of communities and growth and development, and to see himself as an enabler of peace and cohesion, then we have a good community. That is why we work with men.
Mm-hmm. That's so interesting, Nashipai. Somebody asked me to ask you that you are a youth champion in men and boys matters.
Mm.
Why not a girl child? Because I think everybody seems to worry the girl child and not the boy child.
Nashipa is a mother of boys. God, when God allowed me to have children, he blessed me with three wonderful men in the making. I call my sons men in the making because in a boy there is a man. There is the man that wants to push me and tell me, hey, this is me. And there is the boy that wants love and attention and all that. So when I looked at my three men in the making, I focused Kenya in the next 50 from where I sit today. And my heart shattered. Because today we are all talking about girl child, programs, government systems, affirmative action. It is not bad. I'm not against it because I'm a woman. There is a way I benefit in one or another. And there is still need to empower this girl. I know of girls who are being circumcised in the remote of this country, and it is against their will. Others are being married off. I have lost a friend to suicide when I was a very young girl because she was being married off to a man that she didn't want and she wanted education. So I totally understand the need and the plight of the woman as a woman actually who comes from the Maasai community. However, when I project the realities of the boy child, the boy today, and the man tomorrow, we having a seesaw situation where 25, 30 years ago, the seesaw was like, you normally have a seesaw, right?
Yes.
So assuming this is the woman, this is the man, right? Mm. So the man's weight was here because patriarchy was there. Everything was working for him. The system that society had set up was working for the man. Now, what is happening to the woman? She's exposed. So now the exposure, this seesaw is tilting, right? And this tilt is not so beautiful because unfortunately, things are weighing on the woman in a good way. I mean, the affirmative action, as I had said, jobs, government opportunities, YAGPO is working for women. We do not have a fund that supports men when they need money after 36. 35, you're no longer a youth as a man in this country. So the next time you meet government funding is at 60 with the national, the NGAF fund, right? So at the end of the day, this thing is tilting. So what will happen? The man will be exposed. But can we have a balance? Because when this man is exposed, our sons will start saying, we want a space on the table.
Mm, that's correct.
So I look at my sons, and 50 years to come, if he's already struggling, if the boy today or the man today is already struggling for space, or to keep space, or maybe for something else, it may not be the space on the table because we already have so many men on the table. What is this thing that will be disadvantaging the man? Could it be a social system? Could it be we'll have more women than men? Could it be that the woman who is assumed or said to be very powerful will be too powerful that my sons cannot get a woman to marry? What is this? And when I started looking at it that way, then for me, I realized that we need to build this man. If we are building a strong woman, let us also empower the boy to become a strong man to match the woman. I mean, we are in counseling rooms and young men will come to us and say, I have a whole engineering degree and I'm pursuing my master's, but I cannot maintain a woman of today. Mm-hmm. How do I even live with this woman who is educated and very empowered? It's already with us. So give me another 20 years in Kenya. Are we going to be having families? Are we going to be having men who are exemplifying positive masculinity in their community that way, growing the communities? Or will the woman have empowered them? Will our sons be confident, or will have more sons walking with their heads bowed down because they their self-esteem and their confidence has been swiped off. So they can't stand and they're all walking like this. How will he see an Eve if all he does is walk like sheep?
That's true.
Yet he's supposed to be a shepherd.
Talking about that balance, you just mentioned positive masculinity. But I also know on the other side of the scale is toxic masculinity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that most people now advocating for toxic masculinity vis-a-vis positive masculinity.
Yeah, on Saturdays we have toxic masculinity,
yes.
And everyone, I mean, social media flares on that.
It trends every Saturday,
mm-hmm.
every Saturday,
mm-hmm.
and the content there.
Yeah.
So from Eve's side, then, mm-hmm. where do you see the balance? Where do you see that going?
Wow.
And what should we do?
You know, the reality is that much as we have toxic masculinity, we also have very toxic women. We need to be alive to that fact. And this is person to person. It is what people decide to become in a big way. Others, it is because of where they are coming from, their background, their shaping, their modeling at a young age. And toxicity is brewed. So at the end of the day, I want to believe that what is learned can also be unlearned.
Mm-hmm.
And you can learn something new. And so for us to end toxic masculinity, I desire that men should seek to understand themselves. Self-awareness, total and genuine, unapologetic self-awareness. Where, yes, when she says this, I get so mad. And you query, why is it that I'm getting this mad? What is aggravating me? What triggers this anger? You know? Why do I have to hit? What can I do differently? Because until we have this retrospect and we have these come to Jesus moments, as Christians would say, we'll still continue hurting one another.
That's true.
Toxic masculinity is something that men can decide. I will take responsibility of my emotions, my thought processes, my understanding of women, you know, and my understanding of society. I will make changes to my culture. Because yes, I have been socialized this way, but it is not working for me. Therefore, I will make certain adjustments that are supporting me and also benefiting the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, Shipai, when you say that, remember the conversation where we're talking about gender-based violence, and somebody was asking and said, what if this boy child is unable to, you know, articulate their feelings and end up beating the people they love? I don't know if it's an excuse. I don't know what it's. What's your take from the Eve's eyes?
I think I'm a different Eve.
Yeah.
And why I say I'm a different Eve is because being that I speak about and for men, and also I work with men, God has given me a grace to see things that other Eves do not perceive or perceive differently. This is not in pride, it is in total humility. Why do I say so? Because a lady will argue with a man,
mm-hmm.
and not understand that there are certain parameters that she crossed.
No? I think you should say that again. No, I actually got a comment when we discussed when we took out the shop.
Yeah.
I had a comment said, when we're discussing, somebody said, but you know, guys, you are being so hard on us, but our Eve sometimes a tongue.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I started by saying, even women are toxic. Some women are extremely toxic, you know? And so she argues out a situation with this Adam, but she's crossed some parameters. Unfortunately, he did not get an opportunity to express and say, this is how you crossed my path. So many of us are having marriages that are breaking because communication was not done the right way. Someone crossed a boundary, or someone did not say it the right way, or maybe the right time, Or maybe when you were trying to seek out for this Adam's support as an Eve, he was going through his Adam's cave moment, a turmoil situation that he's trying to understand his emotions, he's trying to get through a certain season, and you're here coming with your needs, babe, darling, and he's looking at you and he's thinking, what kind of confusion is this? Why do I even have her in my life at this time? I just need my silence. So, and that creates conflict. She'll never understand you because she's not a man. She's not a man. It takes people to say, I need space. There's a time I was going through a very difficult time in my life. I was going through some certain tests. And there were, you know, those life-determining tests, like lab tests. And the whole thing was draining my energies. And I knew I would spark any time. So I went back to my dome of men and I spoke to the king in my kingdom. I told him, sir, if you find me snapping, if you find me acting this way, please note, this is the pressure that I'm having. So support me where you can. I went through the process to the end. If I had not communicated that way, then he comes and says whatever he says and I just flare. Because I'm human. I mean, we're humans. Yeah. Let's not pretend that people don't have these moments, you know? So I think men should be kind enough to communicate and say, I'm having this season and I just need some silence. I need my space. And your space can be interpreted in the wrong way also. There's a time I asked on Facebook, if your man takes a holiday on his own, how will you take it?
What was the response?
How can he go on holiday without me?
Yes.
So basically we need to be gracious, understand one another, extend some grace and kindness in trying to understand each other. Because we are not perfect and we come from different backgrounds. Our communications are totally different. The way the Kalenjin men, and I'm sorry to use this, the way the Kalenjin men communicate is totally different from the way a Coastarian will communicate and the way a man from the Luo Nyanza will communicate.
Absolutely.
So understanding where these people are coming from, how they've been nurtured. Sometimes it takes too much, but I think a couple should get to a place where they create their own communication platform and understand one another so that we don't have a lot of Adams who are lost and Eves who are looking for Adams, and Adams are not there to be found.
Because Adams. So I think a couple of weeks again, we discussed the Eves and Adams, and Adam was saying, Eve must know who he speaks to. He says, in a man, there's a fool and the king. And Eve must know who to address, whether to address the king or the fool. And I think the story was based on the Abigail story when she met, they said that my husband is a fool and he was facing the king and he could reconcile the two. So I think I resonate with what you're saying. And I think Adams are also just saying, yes, please tell them. Just tell them.
That's the MBA.
But then does that give an excuse? Or then why then would a man, you've always asked, then be violent? Why would they take that path? Especially, you know, we discuss and say, oh, as you're saying, you sweetheart, darling, I love you and everything else. When does it cross the line and become violence?
You know, Kissinger, we live in a society, and I want to do a disclaimer, because I'm a Sitamite, I believe in the word of God. I'm on a Christian station, and I still want to speak my truth. We live in a society where people have decided that there is no way out to a marriage. yet.
Is there a way out? I thought it is for...
I know
till death do you part.
I know it is till death do you part. But do you have to wait for this death as you see it coming? Unless you have a terminal disease. Must someone sit there and become a drum to another person, be beaten black and blue, deal with broken limbs? Some even have disc displacement because waligongo kwa mgongo, they are now having serious injuries. Others lose parts of their bodies. Others have cuts and, you know, scars. Must it get there? And I keep telling, and I will tell someone, step aside. There's a saying in Kikuyu, when you see that it is going, the fire is too much and it's going to burn your meat, you remove your meat. The reason why you were burning your meat was to roast it and enjoy the meal.
Not to burn it.
Not to burn it.
Makes sense. Mm.
You are not coming to do a sacrifice here. Why should either side, because I know men who are being beaten by their wives. Being an ambassador of men, these things come to my space. Why should someone wait for that? Step aside. Reevaluate. I mean, men play ball and they watch football. I mean, we are having the Premier League right now. Mm-hmm. And every time a game is being played, you have 15 minutes break.
Yes.
Why do we have 15 minutes break? Why can these footballers run the field for 90 minutes?
That's a good question. Is it to strategize, refresh, revitalize,
take some water, let it sink, you know, do your natural, you know.
Yeah.
All this in 15 minutes. Unfortunately, when people take their 15 minutes from marriage, they assume it's permanent.
Makes sense. They
don't come to play the other 45. They move on.
Ah, that's profound.
Yet someone stepped aside for 15 minutes to reevaluate, resharpen, re-strategize, then go back.
And seek help.
If you're cutting a tree and you do not stop to see the direction to which this tree will fall, it might kill you.
That's correct.
And if the two of you cannot sit down and agree and evaluate, we are cutting this tree, which side will it fall? It might kill the two of you or even kill the entire of your generation. That's why we are seeing femicides fallicide or something? Man killing wife and children and committing suicide or dying by suicide. And a whole generation is gone. Because the two of them did not agree to check where this tree is going to fall, to resharpen their axes and go back to work. Their hands were blistered, they were feeling the pain, but they chose to continue with a blunt axe. I think marriages and more so relationships, people need to take a step back once in a while. Evaluate, ask each other, are we doing it the right way? What can we do differently? And if you do not have that kind of communication, step aside. Silence is also a way of communicating.
So Adam, I know we started by asking Adam, where is Eve? So it looks like sometimes Adam takes more than 15 minutes and disappears into the trees, instead of looking for the Eve or coming back and just giving that leadership, right? How should Adam, now talking about the empowered Eve, reclaim his position and provide leadership and look for Eve?
Wow. I think the first thing is Adam to, when this stepping aside happens, both should be fair to each other and to themselves. And I keep saying, it takes two to tangle. takes two to untangle. A relationship is built by people, not by person. So everyone has their part to play. Either someone did something too much, and of course too much of something is no good. Is it Paul who said that?
Yes.
Or you did not give as much, and therefore it is counted sin because you know what to do, but you did not do. So it is counted sin. No? Or you gave substandard. You did not love as Christ would love. So you did not. You will not die for this person.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. Or the other one was not respected, so they were not able to reciprocate. No? In this case, you sit back, first as individuals. And because at that level, there is a lot of bad blood, let it cool off. Silently.
That's true.
And then from there, sit back, call each other, and ask, how do you see this? Fair. No, be fair, be very objective at this level. How do you see this? And allow yourself to be in a judgment court by your spouse, whether you're the man or the woman, to shut up and listen. If the two of you cannot resolve, take yourself to a professional marriage and family therapist. Go through the process, because where you're at is something that is coming from somewhere. When you have done due diligence and you feel it's still not working, then you can sit down and make certain agreements that are not going to hurt and are not going to become a problem to the children. Mm. Yeah.
No, Nashipai, the standard that seems to have been set, I think you mentioned it, you love your wife as Christ loved the church. And for wife, you just need to submit. Someone was saying submission is much easier than loving as Christ loved the church. Is submission easy?
Which is one loving, comes first? Let me ask you, is loving easy?
Some men say, Adam say, it's easier to love when she submit.
It is easier to submit when you're loved well.
So is it the egg or the chicken?
I have even added loved well. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm.
This is something that is supposed to happen in tandem, because the two of you are coming together. You see the way in a factory there is a chain and they interlock at some point. You know, the conveyance belt has to interlock somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know, there's something that happens for it to run. And there is this bit that happens. Mm-hmm. Marriage is like kneading. You're mixing water and unga. For it to become smooth and soft and for you to have beautiful chapatis, it takes work.
It takes work.
There is the submission. There is the submitting one to another. There is loving one another. There is no right way of loving. There is no right way of submission, because what you define as submission, Kissinger, is totally different from what another man would define as submission. So what needs to be done is men need to define to women, what do you need? What do you really need? What is this? What is the meaning of submission to you? And especially for cross marriages, where people are coming from different tribes. The patriarchy practiced in Western is different from Central. You know? Bring a man from Uganda, take him to Kikuyu land. Him, he's used to women bowing down.
Yes. And kneeling down for them.
You know?
Yeah. And then she gets a surprise that this lady from Central is not kneeling down.
Actually, give him this lady from Nyeri, my wonderful sisters. And tell me how that relationship is going to be. Unless people understand, where are you coming from? Where am I coming from? What am I aware about myself? And then from there, because two are coming together, Remember, the man will leave his family and cleave. So this cleaving is what, ikukuja pamoja, is what has never been really defined fully. Because this is culture, this is upbringing, this is environment, this is exposure. Sometimes the lady's levels of exposure are too high. She's traveled, she's seen different things. And the minute you leave Kenya and go elsewhere, you will become a different person because human beings are dynamic. So this cleaving is the kneading of the water and unga and mixing that dough. And that is where people go wrong because they don't want to understand what is this that they are doing.
It's powerful. Please speak to Adam, who is looking for Eve. You've asked the question, Adam, where's Eve? Please tell them where to find Eve.
Are you looking for an Eve who's already found or an Eve who's looking for, who's waiting for an Adam to get him?
They're looking for Eve that they already have. But somehow they've lost her.
I will tell men that we are all dynamic. By the time you're feeling that your woman has left, ask yourself, when did you leave? By the time you're feeling that something has taken off your ship and you're the captain, ask yourself, how did I miss that? What did I have to do for it to jump off? Someone in the ship, in the boat, had to say we are going to die for Jonah to jump into the ocean.
That's profound, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So could it be that this someone is the Adam in this case and Jonah is the wife? Or what is it? Did he say something that pushed her away? So he did not love, he spread hate instead. Did he curse where he's supposed to bless? What did he do? On the other side, what was done to you that you closed in and you did not communicate about it? Because sometimes you will lose her because you've allowed this person that you do not like to grow. And by your silence, you have watered that which is not supposed to grow. Yet sometimes it only takes sitting down and saying, hey, my dear, we are going the wrong direction because you're doing A, B, C, D, and I don't like it. And you're able to bring her back. So no matter how we look at it, no matter how much our cultures say that boma ni mwanamke, boma ni mwanaume.
Totally agree, totally agree. No, thank you, Nashipai. I wish we had a lot of time to share this. And I thought we'd have more time to do this. But what could be your parting shot before we close?
Wow. I just want to ask these men and every Adam that is watching us today, if Jesus would love the church and give his life for the church, and he expects you to love the same, to love your wife like he loved the church and gave his life, why then are you fighting your wife? Why do you fight your own flesh? If Adam woke up and said, this is the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, why are you fighting yourself? What do you need to change that particular person in you? And fighting may not be punching only. Fighting could be some levels of violence. It could be financial violence where you're keeping money from her and disadvantaging her and telling her to stay at home. Yet in our current situation, she may not be in a position at our total may grow. You're wondering, why is she in the house? And she wants to pursue something for the good of the family, but you're keeping her from that. Fighting could mean that you do not allow her to buy land, consider and purchase land, you know, and yet the Proverbs 31 woman is already doing that, right? Mm-hmm. It could not be land only. It could be that God has put in her a great idea to do manufacturing in this country and change the lives of many people. We have people like Mushemi, Melvin's tea, you know? And I respect men like Mr. Mushemi who stands behind that lady because he supported her and cheered her on so that she can bloom and become. And by so doing, she's impacting not just him and the family, but also the society. She's employing people. She's now speaking into the lives of other entrepreneurs. She's leading a big organization right now. So when the men stand in the way of the woman, you're standing in the way of your helper. And you're also standing in the way of God. Because the same way you were given authority, she was also given. The giftings that God placed in you, he placed in her giftings. You're only supposed to find a way of working together. Then the other way that men fight is through words. We are the people who say that men prophesy. Men are priests. What do priests do? Every Sunday I go to church. And you'll hear my pastor say, the countenance of the Lord be upon you and all that, right? Go in peace and God bless you. Where is this man who's standing in the place of a priest, holding the wife's hand every morning and blessing her and telling her, go in peace, be blessed as you go, and be blessed as you come back? Where is that spiritual cover from the man? So if he's failing to pray for his family or even pray for his woman, he should not come and blame her for being attacked by so many things. He failed. Where is this man who is supposed to be prophesying, but instead of prophesying, he's cursing? You're accusing her wrongfully. You're calling her names. Yet later you will want some favors at a certain time of the day. How do you expect her to reconcile the pain of the morning and the evening without an apology? And so men, our business is big as people in this world, but your business is bigger. Unfortunately, no matter how you look at it, you have the stakes. Do it well, do it right, and remember that sometimes you have to act in a way that is strategic. Support her, because in supporting her, she will smile and you will be a happy man. God bless you.
Amen. Powerful, powerful closing remarks, Nashi Pai. Please take us with the second Adam, the true Adam, and commit us to him.
Sante.
In prayer.
Father, I want to thank you and bless your name. We thank you for the gift of Adam. We thank you for the gift of Eve internationally. We commit all of us to you. There are many things we do not understand, but through your grace and through your wisdom, through your spirit, we are able, Lord, to see things through. I pray in the name of Jesus that where there is no peace, Lord, restore peace. I pray that, Father, where there is discourse, Lord, let there be understanding, let there be coming together, and let people work together, because you are the one who says that two are better than one. Let those who are two work better and thrive to the glory and honor of your name. And those who are aggrieved, give them wisdom on how to resolve their issues and how to rebuild walls that are broken. Lord, be glorified and be magnified. Bless Hope TV, bless CBS, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And as this work goes forth, let your anointing be upon our airwaves, Lord, and impact lives and society. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Nashi Pai, for sharing your heart. And Eve, we've heard you. Adam, you've heard the voice of Eve calling us and asking us, where are you? Let's go and find our Eves. Let's be there for them as Christ has called us to do. So we look forward to continue having the conversation on 20933. Or 0717-400-555. Or just drop a comment on our pages as well. We'd really, really be glad to have you. And last time we asked, Adam, where are you? We saw several hands going up. Congratulations, Adam. We are happy to see you going
awesome.
Up. We are happy to see you rising to your occasion. Now we ask you, where is Eve? So let's see where you find next week, where Eve is, and be happy to continue. Let's meet again next time, same station and same time, and wish you God blessings and a great weekend. God bless you.